Let's pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. So, when's enough enough? Have you heard that? Probably some of us might have said it to our children. Listen here, enough is enough. We might have said it to our husbands. You said it to the dog last night. Enough is enough. So we have a pretty good idea what that means, don't we? Today's gospel is again challenging us all about what it means to be a disciple of Christ. How is it possible to be rich towards God? The reading tells us, "Teacher, tell my brother to divide the family inheritance with me." And it looks as though the Jewish law that was prescribed during that time, that at the death of the father, the son would receive the inheritance. And that the younger son would only receive one third of it. So it could be that this person might have been a younger son and he was complaining about the unfairness of that. Remember the ABBA song, Gimme, Gimme, Gimme? It was a good song. Do you remember Tom Cruise saying with a very loud voice, "Give me the money"? There was a teacher who asked her sixth year students. She said, "A wealthy man dies and leaves $10 million. One-fifth goes to his wife, one-fifth to his son, one-sixth to his butler, and the rest to charity. Now, what does each get?" After a long silence in the classroom, little Joey put up his hand and the teacher called on Joey for his answer and he said with complete sincerity, "A lawyer." A lawyer. How angry are some when they hear that somebody is leaving all their money either to charity or to the dog? Some members of family never speak to each other again. Happens when I prepare funerals sometimes. They're already talking about who gets what. Our daughter Catherine's got a very good idea. Just put my name on the bottom of everything. Jesus says to this unnamed person, "Friend." He calls him a friend. "Who set me up to be the judge or arbiter over you?" I like that. He calls him a friend. And that he's not the judge or arbiter. Don't leave everything up to God. Make your own decisions. So what's with this story that Jesus then tells this unnamed friend? It says that the farmer was already rich. Obviously, he grew good crops and he had been lucky with the weather, obviously. And he thought to himself, "What shall I do? I've run out of room. I will tear down my old barns and build new ones to store up all my grain, my goods and my possessions. And I will say to myself, soul, you have ample goods laid up for many years. Relax, eat, drink and be merry." I think he talks about I 11 times. Check it when you get home. It's all about I. But that sounds pretty good, I reckon. He's prepared himself for those years when he maybe retires. And God said to him, you fool, this very night your life is being demanded of you, and the things you have prepared, whose will they be? Whose will they be? There's a wonderful story about Henry Ford. Have you ever heard the story about Henry Ford? Do you know who Henry Ford is? He's probably a very rich man as well. This is what he said, and I'll read it to you. Henry Ford once asked an associate of his about his life goals. The man replied that his goal was to make $1 million. Lots of people want to be a millionaire. A few days later, Ford gave the man a pair of glasses made out of 2 silver dollars. He told the man to put them on and asked him what could he see. Nothing, the man said. Those dollars are in the way. Ford told him that he wanted to teach him a lesson. If his only goal was dollars, he would miss a host of greater opportunities, and that he should invest himself in serving others and not simply making money. It's a good lesson, isn't it? Tom knows that I've started cleaning out the cupboards. I've already got rid of quite a few bags. And how many glass bowls does one need anyway? Take care, Jesus said. Be on your guard against all kinds of greed. We have so much stuff. We've still got 2 garages full of it. A successful peasant farmer. Take care, be on your guard against all kinds of greed, for one's life does not consist in the abundance of possessions. In lots of ways, this story is not about being rich or that it's evil. It is what we do with our richness. It's a very important issue in Luke's gospel. It talks about greed. I can remember the story of Joseph. Remember Joseph and his many coloured? Yes. Do you know that he prophesied to Pharaoh and said, you need to do something because we're going to have 7 lean years, and we need to make sure that we've got enough to cover those years so that people don't starve. It happens in Australia. Look at the droughts that we have, the floods that we have. The farmer never once said, I will use my surplus to help those who need it. I will share it. My barns are full. I'll be able to cover the lean years with what I already have. It's a challenge to open our eyes to those who have less. We know that richness can bring all kinds of luxuries, power and position. But guess what? A lot of those people who are multi-millionaires are not happy. And they know that something is missing in their lives. There are a lot of people today that know that there is something missing in their lives. But the drive for it takes us away from other important priorities. and the least of these being God and discipleship. We have to look at this in the context of our individual lives and as a church. And that's why a lot of churches in Victoria and Tasmania have been asked to look at their resources and how they might better use them. And we are lucky because we're beginning to do a bit more of that at the moment. So this reading leaves us with many challenges. I want to share a funny story with you. It's a story about a very wealthy man. He died and he went to heaven, and the angel guided him on a tour of the celestial city. And he came to a magnificent home, and he said to the angel, "Who lives here?" And she said, "Your gardener." And he said, "Wow, if my gardener lives there, imagine, imagine." The rich man got very excited. They came to an even more magnificent abode. And "Whose is this?" he asked, almost overwhelmed. And the angel answered, "She spent her life as a missionary." The rich man was really getting excited now, and finally they came to a tiny little shack with no window and only a piece of cloth for the door. It was the most modest home that this rich man had ever seen in his whole life. "This is your house," the angel said. The wealthy man, he was absolutely flabbergasted. "I don't understand," he says to the angel. "The other houses and homes are so beautiful. Why this home? And why so tiny?" And the angel smiled sadly. "I'm sorry. I'm sorry," she said. "We did all we could with what you sent us to work with." It's a story about abundance, the abundance of God's love for us. It's about a different inheritance that we are given as a gift. The reminder that life is a gift of God and not a hard earned acquisition, and to be warned vividly against the presumption that affluence can secure our future. It's all about how we come rich toward God. "You fool," Jesus says. In one of my commentaries, it says, "There is an alternative to the rich man's best practice." We've heard those words so often now. The business strategy. Your soul has been bankrupted by your balance sheet. Foreclosure is imminent. Hey, to God be the glory forever and ever. Amen.